three.
Welcome to the Poryx. We're poor and we talk about it a lot. Da 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 da. Poor.
We're so poor.
I was leaving out the profanity this time.
I really like the motherfucking poor.
I do too, but I felt like some viewers might not be trying to avoid a habit of, you know, cussing or whatever.
Oh,
viewers.
I
said viewers. That's funny. Anyways,
I don't know if that's gonna work out.
Yeah, no, it is definitely far more fun. But I thought about it. I was like, you know, I think we're so poor works just as well as we're mother freaking poor. You know?
Mother freaking is hilarious, especially in that voice.
I think I was too tired to do it properly today too.
Yeah, I'm tired too. I've just been sleeping the past couple of days. So things I want to talk about today. Joss Whedon, me leaving for a month, and then possibly Joel if we have time.
Oh yeah, Joel, which we meant to talk about before. So
the last two episodes.
So just so you know, I think, I don't know for sure, I think this is our 12th recording. Which is pretty crazy, I believe so, as far as I can tell, is our 12th one. And we haven't even uploaded our 6th one yet, which goes up on Monday. Just so any listener knows, just as a quick notification or whatever, we haven't had a chat in like a week and a half now.
I know, not since the last time we
I think it was pretty intense, but if I remember right.
We have watched two movies.
We've watched movies together. We watched three movies. We started watching movies again. And I'll tell you, what's funny is because, we watched, because you started watching WandaVision.
Yeah, I started watching WandaVision on Disney Plus.
And she really liked it.
Not to flex that we can afford $6 a month.
So and then she, I can't remember if you asked me, if I asked you, I probably asked you, but she was actually interested in watching some of the Marvel movies, which shocked the crap out of me.
Yeah, well, because you told me that they were in some of the movies, and I was like, hell yeah, I want to watch more of them.
So I think we watched Age of Ultron first.
Yeah.
Which is so good. Is my favorite Avengers movie. I love that one.
So good.
And then I forced her through Civil War.
You did not. Okay, so my issue with Civil War was not that it was a bad movie.
It is a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. Like, I was interested the whole time. The only thing I would say is that I would have been more invested if they had worked on, like, because I get where Captain Marvel's coming from. I get where Rocket
Captain
Man
America,
is coming from.
Captain Marvel and Rocket Man. This is my sister's familiarity with the Marvel characters. And just, she loved these movies. She still can't get their names.
Iron Man. I got it.
Rocket Man. Oh my gosh. Oh, wasn't there another movie? Oh, The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah. Okay, so I get where they're both coming from. I just wish that they had set up the conflict in a more kind of nuanced or just more like, it's not just I'm right because I want to sign the
not
accord
just conflict.
Or I'm right just because I don't want to sign it.
Yeah, it was just you're wrong, I'm wrong, you're right, I'm right, whatever. It was just, there was no actual conversation.
Yeah, and then like, as we were talking about, like, the fact that these people are established as friends and teammates,
it didn't make any sense.
I feel like that was not enough to pull them apart. Like, there should have been first an attempt to compromise, and then like, just not.
So we've talked a little bit of this, especially after the movie, and I think even a little during the movie. We did already talk about some of this, and
I was just very frustrated with Captain America because the way that he does things in that movie is just so immature and hot-headed and just like, aren't you supposed to be the oldest of everybody in this group? Like, what the fuck is your problem? Show some maturity, you know? But he's just all like, my way or the highway, which I guess is very American, but like, it's not the best part of America or what we're like.
No, it was very odd. And I explained to my sister too, is because of this, because she had made some points to me where I was like, oh yeah, because I can understand. Like, even I feel like they didn't do a great job on the, it really was just, oh, we're pissed at each other and we hate each other just instantly because of this one thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like they wanted Captain America, I'm trying so hard to get these names right, and Iron Man to fight because they wanted to see it cinematically. Mm-hmm. And then they worked backwards from there, which is okay, except that they didn't work hard enough. Mm. Because, like, even, like, when, in the end, when, when Iron Man finds out that his parents were murdered by Captain America's friend.
I mean, even then it was during, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it was towards
the end. It was towards the end, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that was just another reason to get them to punch each other. Mm. And I'm just like, ugh. So for me, the... Like, the action scenes are fine, but if I don't have, like, a reason to be watching them, then I sort of start to lose interest.
You just didn't care.
They're just punching each other after a certain point, no matter how good the action is. But I would say that for me, my favorite, like, the reason to watch is, like, just skip the first 45 minutes. and then when Wanda and Marvel are alone, Wanda and Vision are alone, Marvel. Wanda and Vision are alone, that's, like, the best part. That's when the movie started getting fun for me. And then Spider-Man and Ant-Man. So those three kind of like settings or scenes or sets of scenes, whatever, were worth watching for
me. A lot of personality in them.
So that's much. Why. Like, yeah, it's almost like, I mean, Captain America is, I think he's kind of like Superman in that he kind of has to be good, like just based on who his character is. Well,
I don't remember the first two movies. I don't love them or anything, but yeah. I do like his character, and I think specifically that movie did not show him at his actual him.
It's kind of like taking it for granted that he's a good guy, and then you're automatically going to be on his side, just because his name is Captain America and he's
if you're already familiar with him and whatever. No, they just did a very poor job of that conflict.
Yes. Yeah, they really did. And it was really frustrating to watch, especially because it took so long. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally spent, like, 45 minutes on just them going back and forth. And I'm like, you could have spent that time more wisely. That's all I'm saying. Like, just make it so that they're at least trying to work together and they just can't come to an understanding. And then you end up with those epic fights. Yeah. And then, like, I'm invested.
It was very immediate. We just disagree and that's it.
Like, I wasn't torn. Like, I was literally mad at both sides.
Well, you know, originally you were just mad at Kat. You were like, I believe in Tony Stark, which I understand.
Here's why. Because Tony was willing to talk about it. And Captain America, I keep wanting to say Captain Marvel. Captain America kept just like, nah.
He only had one answer. It was, I don't want the government telling me who I can and can't save. That was it. So there was no real conversation.
Which, by the way, was not what they were trying to do. What they were trying to do is to keep him from destroying buildings and humans. And then, like, so, okay, and the weirdest part of that movie, too, is, like, they literally show him scenes of the destruction that he's caused and the people crying and talking about their dead relatives. And then they finish showing him that, and he goes, you know, our job is to make America safer, and I believe we've done that. I'm like, did you just watch what they just showed? Like, were you in the other room? Were you taking a piss break? Like, what the fuck? Like,
I'm piss break. So what I explained to my wonderful, amazing sister, because I hadn't really thought of it before. I did remember feeling similar, even just watching it on my own, being like, this is a really stupid conflict. But, I did let her know that in the comic books, they do tend to go much further into the detail in the conversation than they do in these movies.
And even the X-Men, which, like, I haven't watched every X-Men thing. I've watched some of the cartoon. I watched some of the movies. Mm. I haven't read any of the comic books. But, like, I'm familiar with that enough to know that it's part of the conversation, kind of like just as part of the movie. Like, it's not the focus of the movie, but it's always, how do we keep people safe? How do we keep ourselves hidden? You know, like, or should we be hidden? Like, that's the essential conflict of X-Men. So it's always there. But, like, I don't see, and maybe because I haven't seen all the movies, I don't remember them just destroying buildings and, like, ripping roofs off of cars.
They do.
And punching the people. Oh, they do. It's
very similar in the action sequences.
Okay. Yeah, because
where they just destroy the world and they're like,
I'm just counting bodies as I'm watching these scenes and it's hard to enjoy them. So I'm just like, and like, so that was part of my other problem with the Captain America, is just that, like, they're just causing so much destruction. Was that Captain America? No, that was the Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron was Avengers,
Which
he's a part of.
So, like, they're in the middle of the city, and they're just destroying all these buildings, cars, you know, whatever. And I don't know, like, if anybody's old like me, but it was just, like, it reminded me of 9/11, which is, like, 9/11 looked to me, like, when I first saw it, because I didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. I just turned on the TV, and there's this building blowing up. My first response, this is so horrible, but my first response, that's cool. Like, because I didn't know it was real life.
Oh.
Like, it's a plane going into a building, and then the shape of the hole is plane-shaped, and then the building falls down. Like, if you don't know, that's, like, I assumed it was a movie. I didn't know. And then, like, obviously, like, just that's just horrible, but it changed my perspective on action movies from then on. Like, I remember one day, maybe like a year later or something, I turned on the TV and there was this building blowing up. And I, now that I knew what an actual building looked like blowing up, it was horrifying. And then I realized that it was Die Hard 3. You know, because like my first instinct was, oh no, not again, you know, like, and then it was just a movie. But like, just ever since then, I've just like not looked at the destruction of buildings and people as just kind of background or just to sort of heighten the stakes psychologically. Like, it doesn't work like that for me. Now I'm actually worried about those people in the buildings.
No, I don't worry about them at all.
Like, there was a...
I know it's a movie, so I don't care.
There's a Disney movie that's a cartoon where I think it's Neil Patrick Harris plays the... He's like a big brain. He's like a alien looking guy. And then he pretends to look like a human for a while.
I think it's Mr. something, but I never watched that one.
Yeah. So he's supposed to be the bad guy when he is at the beginning. But then like there's fights with him fighting against a different bad guy. And they're like, when he's a bad guy and fighting and they're destroying all this property and all these buildings and just like stuff, I'm just like, how? Because I knew that eventually he was supposed to be the good guy, because I had watched enough video essays about the movie. I was like, how am I supposed to, like, reconcile, like, the fact that he's just hurting so many people and killing so many people with the fact that he ends up good at the end, you know? Like, that's part of my psyche when I'm watching these movies. And then, like, we watch Spider-Man Away From Home. Was it Away From Home or
Homecoming? The first one.
Homecoming. So I watched that, and then Jeremy was like, so what was your reaction to all the destruction in this? I think, for one thing, like, a lot of the action was away from huge groups of people, but even the part on the barge, was it a barge? Yeah. On the barge, where the barge, like, basically gets split in half. Like, I liked that they took a moment where Spider-Man is just like so like shook up that he caused that much destruction like unwittingly, and then Iron Man shows up to scream at him. Which is like, by the way, when he steps out of that suit, like, that is the fucking coolest thing. Like, I kind of assumed that was him in the suit, because he's like, if you really cared, you would be here. And then the face shield comes down, and I was expecting that. But he just, like, the suit opens up and he just steps out. I was like, oh!
And he walks right on him.
Oh my god. It's so good. Yeah. So I like that. And I like that the last big fight scene takes place on the shore, away from a lot of the people. So it's not like they're not affected and there's not a lot. Like, there's still damage, but you're not just watching, like, bodies flying in the air, you know, in your head. Like, in my head. So... plus I like that it was addressed, and the fact that, like, they're thinking about this stuff. It's not just happening, you're just not supposed to care. That was a lot. I didn't mean to
tell them that. Well, just on part of that was, we talked about that too, and I was like, well, a part of it is, specifically to Avengers and that series and whatever, like, they do actually address that a lot in the actual TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is weird, because I don't know. It's very weird to me in how long those movies are. They're at least 2 hours, if not 2.5 hours.
Oh my god, yeah.
So you would think they take a minute or two to address these concerns that we're talking about, but they don't. It's so weird, because they do. I mean, the reason they're so long is because they're actually being able to put more story in. So that is also very weird to me, because it's definitely a major part of what's always a part of their stories is, let's save people. We don't want to destroy the world.
Yeah.
While we're saving them. So movies are all super Hollywood, just kill everything.
It's like, I want to save this specific person and the rest of you can all fuck off, which I, as an individual human being, can relate to, but it's not what I want in my heroes.
Right. So we've watched a few movies, which is cool. We plan to watch more, which is awesome. And all because of WandaVision, which is very cool. I still really love the first three episodes. I can't, you know what? I would delete them completely.
I think, nah, for me, like, I wasn't sure the first couple of episodes just because I just don't like that 56
style. I literally couldn't even watch them.
But knowing, like, knowing that it doesn't stay that way, like, that's why I'm okay with it.
I think it's dumb. I think it's a huge waste of time. It was dragged out. It was really fucking boring, and I couldn't wait for it to get to the actual point of the damn show.
Actually, really, like, I just thought, yeah, no, I liked it.
No, a lot of people did, yeah.
Yeah, and I think upon rewatch, like, I think that
If I rewatch them, I'm starting with episode 4. I don't care. Those first three episodes might as well not exist for me.
No, I think for me, upon rewatch, I'll enjoy them more knowing that it's only the first couple of episodes and then they kind of
I couldn't stand a single minute.
I just love, and I love the neighbor, the crazy kooky neighbor.
Yeah.
I just, that actress is so good, cool, and then also, I just like that character, just individually, just really like her. And then the outfit on the agent, the undercover agent, like the 70s outfit, oh, so cute. Just love that vest, so cute. So anyway.
I don't remember, I can't picture it.
It's like, it's just very cute. So anyway, I don't like the pants, but I like the rest of the outfit. So, yeah. So, like, really, like, WandaVision. So, yeah, that's why we got into the Avengers.
Yeah. I had to show her Age of Ultron. I was like, it's my favorite Avengers movie, and it's the least popular Avengers movie, which is really funny to me.
Well, and, like, I wasn't expecting to like the characters as much, Wanda and Vision, and then, like, as the episodes progress, I'm just, like, getting more and more invested, so you're like, oh, yeah, there's a movie where you have Vision's origin story. It's like, fuck yeah! Because Jeremy Percy just, like, looks at me and goes, you know that Vision was created by Iron Man, right? I was like, what?!
He's an AI. It is a really cool story.
At first, I thought he was an alien because he's all red. Yeah, yeah. And like, so that was my assumption at first.
AI created into an alien, I guess.
Yeah. So I was like, how did they meet? Like, their origin story. And then Wanda shows up. I was like, hell yeah. Because you told me that she was going to be in it.
Didn't I?
I don't think so.
No, I thought I did.
Yeah. And then by, like, when I watched.
So she's very brief in it, but she is there, yeah. Yeah. I thought I told you it was both of their origin story.
No, and you just told me it was his. Mm. So I was just expecting him, and then Wanda shows up with her brother. I was like, oh my god, he dies later!
He dies later. That's so funny. Oh,
crap. So, anyway, yeah. So we wanted to talk about that. And then also, so Joss Whedon... Speaking of like Avengers and stuff like that,
right?
So.
That actually, it's funny. I didn't even think of that when we first started. Like,
so I figured out who. Okay, so his name is Ray something, and he plays Cyclops in I think some of the Avengers movies.
Mm, no, X-Men.
X-Men. Not that Cyclops. different. Not Cyclops. Cyborg.
Oh, that's DC.
Is that...
Cyborg, that's Suicide Squad and Justice League.
It's also Doom Patrol.
Oh, he's in there too? Is he the same actor in that?
Same, well, I think so, because I was looking up Joss, like, I just wanted to see if there was any latest...
Joss Whedon does those?
I don't know, I guess so.
I didn't know Joss Whedon did the DC stuff too.
Maybe there's two different cyborgs.
Well, there's no cyborg in the, Marvel
stuff. Okay, well, I don't know what Doom Patrol is. Is Doom Patrol
DC?
DC,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So I guess they were working on a movie, and this guy Ray, who plays Cyborg, got fired, and Ray Fisher, and he complained to the, or maybe he got fired because he complained that Joss Whedon was being unprofessional and abusive on set, and I didn't know who he was because I like the name Cyborg didn't really mean anything to me. And then I saw him in costume. I was like, oh my god, that's a dude from Doom Patrol. So Doom Patrol is really good. It's so good. You have to watch it. It's Brendan Fraser's greatest work. So there's that. And then I just love the schizophrenic chick. She's my favorite. But anyway.
My plan too. I was watching it and then I just got out of the mood, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty dark show. It's funny, but it's dark.
Look, I like dark. The darker, the better, but it's also incredibly fucking slow.
Yeah, I guess it does start off pretty slow. But you know what my favorite is? Alan Tudyk is the bad guy. And
I
fucking love him as a villain.
And I only recognize his name because of Firefly, and then he was also in Dollhouse.
Yeah. He's such a good villain.
It took me a long time to recognize his name, though.
Yeah.
You had to keep telling me, I love that guy, I love that guy.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, who? Now I know.
The best character in every movie he's in, and every show. He's so good. He was in a movie with Sandra Bullock, and I remember just loving him, his character, so much. And then years later, he was on Firefly. And I was like, where do I know this guy from? And then I looked him up, and I was like, oh, he's in that movie with Sandra Bullock. And he's, like, my favorite part of the movie. Like, the only parts of the movie that I remember he's in. So, anyway. So Joss Whedon. And I just wanted to talk briefly about, like, him. He's not been accused of, like, sexually harassing anybody. Although, I will say that it has been implied by, like, the girl who played Buffy's sister said that he wasn't allowed in a room with her after a certain point. Yeah, so sad.
Might have just been because she was young. Because as far as we know, he's pretty hostile.
It was because he was inappropriate, which could mean sexually, it could be otherwise. But yeah, he like...
It's from the sound, from what I had seen a little bit, it seemed like he was just really hostile, like...
Yeah, mean and mind games and like just,
which I never would have, because I'd seen behind the scenes stuff with him, and then when they did the musical for Buffy, and they were all so happy and like a family and shit, you know. So like, I'm just like, what?
Well, just me having an understanding like what it's like to be in a family where you have that dynamic going on, just because we were living with Illy, like, you don't act like you're being abused when you're in public, or when you're like, you basically are performing for people when you're in front of other people. You know, like, you know, not to talk about that stuff, you know, to make everything seem like it's okay. And the other thing too is, like, I think they all did genuinely have a lot of fun with each other and really liked each other, but, you know, they also had this to deal with at the same time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, this job would be great if it weren't for the customers. Like, this job would be great if it weren't for the director/creator.
Or the coworkers, just depends on.
Yeah. Like, I just, like, I remember, like, the Shuri and me just being like, if we were just running this place by ourselves, and I love Barb and Dave, but, like, just if we could have set it up as our own club and just, like, run around, like, it would have been so fun, you know. But we had to deal with the fact that there were rules that weren't our rules, you know. So I totally get that, but, like, yeah. It's not like they didn't bond or whatever, but I also really was curious about, like, those are some talented actors. Why haven't we seen more from them? Why did Nicholas Brendon turn into, an alcoholic, you know? And, like, yeah, I looked him up a few years ago. He's, like been in jail for DUIs multiple times, I think. And, it's really sad. And, anyway, so, So, yeah, and it seems like everybody on set has a story about him or knows a story about him, except for the guy who played Giles, who's just, like, when the allegations came out, his quote was something like, I just have been up all night racking my brain to what were the signs that I missed? What was I missing? Because to him, it was, like, a perfectly lovely set. Like, I guess Joss just wanted him to have a good opinion of him.
Well, and he might have not had as much time on set as the others did, too, though.
But that's something else that happens, is if you're, like, kind of a serial abuser, you always have people that you're perfectly kind to, so that when somebody says something about you, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess he was just in a bad mood or something. You always have somebody to defend you because they know you as a completely different person.
It's funny you say that, because, like, I'm in a different sense where, like, even though I'm so used to everything and everybody being so shitty, I can't help but have the benefit of the doubt. Like, no matter what I hear or see, I'm just like, I could easily come up with an excuse for it because people are people.
Yeah. I mean, having, like, made every mistake, like, as a human being, I can get that. So you can catch somebody at a bad time.
And people do change. But yeah, no, it's... I think one of the things you had told me was, you were telling me how something you read or whatever, and it was a good point where, you know, you usually see when people change, and then some of them just don't.
Yeah.
And he hasn't changed. Yeah. Something like that. I forget how you put it.
I think it was in Charisma Carpenter's statement. I think she was like, basically, like, what kind of I think about Dina, which is like, fine, that happened to me. That was 30 years ago. Like, hopefully you're a better person and you're not doing that to people around you.
Yeah.
Like, I can take it and I don't need to punish you as long as you're not that person anymore, or at least not most of the time, right? And so for her, one of the reasons she came out was to support Ray Fisher, because she's like, oh, so he's still doing this bullshit, you know? Like, why should I stay quiet to not ruin his career when he's still out there hurting people to this day and seems to have no remorse or any kind of inclination to change? So, yeah, so there's that. It's rough because, like, I really enjoyed, I think Joss wrote Age of Ultron and it was really good. Or Spider-Man or one of those.
No, it wasn't I think he worked on most Avengers movies, and I believe he did write Age of Ultron. Although I don't know how the writing goes, because I know there's a comic book that it's based on or whatever, so...
True, but I'm also, like, a huge fan... Like, I was a huge fan of Buffy. Mm-hmm. I really liked Buffy Angel.
Angel was amazing.
People shit on Dollhouse, and I will say I understand where they're coming from, but I really like Dollhouse.
Well, I remember I had the same issue with Dollhouse I did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was it was such a slow start. But once I got through that...
Yeah, that's not the issue people have with Dollhouse.
Oh, is it just the content? Like
So essentially the gripe is basically like he's supposed to be showing that these people are exploited, but he's also doing kind of like slow in zoom shots of people getting naked and getting dressed up as doms.
That show's so damn good. I don't fucking care.
Well, yeah, okay, so that's the thing is like okay, so there's a video essay by Lindsay Ellis called Framing Megan. Oh, God, what was her name? From the Transformers movies?
Megan Fox.
So, Framing Megan Fox. So, basically, it's about how the character is actually really smart and, like, good with her hands and actually very capable. Mm. But the way that the director shows her is
super sexy and stuff.
Super sexy, very, it kind of undermined her character, the way that she was shot.
You know what they should have done then? She got a better actress.
Well, that's kind of the point of the video essay, is that she didn't really...
She was not a very good actress.
I don't know, maybe...
I've never seen her in anything where I thought, like, oh, man, she's good. Of course, I can't remember many things she's in either.
Well, I mean, I've never seen her in anything and been like, oh, God, why did they hire her?
Well, no, but I mean, I notice a good actress, you know, or actor. And, like, I wouldn't call any of those people in any of those movies a good actor. And I like those movies, the Transformers.
Yeah.
Even Mark Wahlberg, who I love as an actor, I think he's a really good actor. I didn't think he was acting in his part of the Transformers movie. It was just another...
I mean, that might be down to the directing,
just
too.
Another, yeah, the directing and the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of the point, is like it undermines the point that you're trying to make. So if he's writing, like, going back to the Dollhouse, like, if he's writing a story where, like, emotionally, I think that you and I connected to what he meant to say, and so we didn't really notice, well, I didn't really notice the way that things were being shot, and it was kind of undermining the fact that you're kind of making exploitation sexy, I guess, is the argument.
Oh my gosh. It just sounds stupid to me. I'd have to watch it again, but I don't... It's not, the people analyze shit too much.
Well,
it was a really good fucking story. It was really well written. It was really well acted.
Uh-huh.
It was really well presented. So if TV... is like, oh, we have to have something look sexy. Fucking so be it, man.
But I wouldn't blame TV. I would blame Joss, and that's what people are saying. Is like,
I don't know, because you like, I mean, I don't know. It could be him, but I mean, I've heard so many things that happens in games too, where, you know, they have their vision, they put it together, and then the people who are publishing or putting the money into it, like the network, are like, we need this. You need to do this, so you need to adjust this to look sexy or be different in this way or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would be more inclined to say that it was Joss, just because
I've seen that for literally everything ever created.
Okay. So, agree to disagree, but the point is just that, like, I get the criticism, but at the same time, I really enjoy Dollhouse for what it is.
It's a great show.
Yeah. And I, oh my god, like, again, Alan Tudyk as a villain is just like, so good. So, and I just really like the characters, and I like the writing, and I really kind of like Sucker Punch, where people have the same criticism, is that...
Oh, they were all super cute and sexy or whatever?
It's kind of like, you know...
Well, they were raised to be sluts or something. I can't remember exactly how it was. But they were basically raped and abused and
yeah.
whatever, but that turned into...
The thesis of the movie is...
Ninjas or some crap? I forget. It's been a while since I watched
it. I rewatched it recently. Yeah, I rewatched it recently, and I still liked it, but I understood. Again, I understand the criticism. The criticism is this is supposed to be about empowering women, and you're objectifying them instead. Or oh my God. At the same time, at least at the same time, which means that you're undermining the message.
It just sounds to me like Anita Sarkeesian fucking saying that Mario Brothers is sexist because there's a female to rescue. Fuck that shit.
But she's not saying that Super Mario Brothers is sexist. She's saying that when every video game uses the same trope and it happens over and over again and it's overwhelmingly females who are in the position of distress who need to be rescued, then it becomes an issue.
Nah, whatever.
So it's a little bit more nuanced than that, but no, yeah,
it's not. But it's a stupid complaint.
But the point is, like, I get the criticisms against Sucker Punch, Dollhouse, and I think I mentioned another thing, but like, I get it, but also like, I can still enjoy it for, you know, for the value that I get out of it. But that's kind of one of the things that he's been criticized for.
It just sounds so stupid to me. Wait, do you want like? Do you want to represent all the people that are abused or sexually harassed or raped as just ugly people? Is that like...
It wasn't the fact that they made them cute. It was the fact that... So like basically in Sucker Punch, Baby Doll kind of enjoys her rape.
No, she doesn't. I never had that impression. I'd have to watch it again. Oh my God.
They frame Don Draper, because it's the guy who plays Don Draper, they frame him as being very sexy and seductive, even though you know what he's doing is actually raping
her. I'd have to watch it again. I don't remember ever having that impression at all. But that's also because in my own mind, like, you know.
You're seeing it at face value. You're not looking at it.
Yeah, like, that's what I tend to do.
Yeah. Which is fine. Like, it's fine. But so, and I get it both. I get it from face value. I can enjoy it. But I can also understand how, like, I want to know, like, as a writer, as somebody who wants to create worlds, I want to know, how does this come off to other people, or what are the criticisms? And that can be...
But you know what? The reality is no matter what you do, somebody's going to bitch about something fucking stupid.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it can be paralyzing to just make sure that
you will not be able to make it for everybody. Just make it the way you want, and you can take the feedback. Feedback is great, and you can work with that, but there's no... If you try to make it so that it's not going to offend anybody ever, it's not going to be what you want it to be.
Yeah, and it's probably not going to be very good.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I look at Bo Burnham and I blush at some of his jokes now.
Fag.
I know.
And it's amazing.
And we
it's
played
amazing.
It on our podcast. And it I was like, amazing. I was thinking about it later. I was like, oh my God.
I knew as I was playing, I was like, man, I hope people understand.
I completely forgot about that part. And I was just like, but it's so catchy. And like, I ended up just saying that because I was just like,
the way he does it is it's in context, like you understand it.
In context, like he's the butt of the joke. He's not insulting gay people, but also homophobes are the butt of the joke.
Yeah,
people who would say that as an insult are the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. So it's not set out.
Also, a part of that, which is very interesting because I'd forgotten about that too, but a part of that is not just at a time. This was, and especially in the context of the guy when he says it, it's literally just such a casual, non-derogatory used manner.
Yeah.
It's just a word.
Yeah.
That's thrown out, and it's a horrible word to be thrown out, but it's not.
It's definitely more shocking now. Like.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, it just reminds me of when, it's like when people use the term rape as in a video game where like, oh, you just got raped because they're talking about like somebody getting a bunch of kills or whatever. I'm raping you or something. It's horrible. It's so fucking stupid. But you know, they're not using it in it. Like it's such a terrible word to use for that, but it's not meant to be derogatory or insult or, you know, whatever. It's not in that context where.
Yeah. Although
weird. It's a trip. It's so stupid.
That's upsetting.
That's a different one. But yeah, no, the way that they were using the you know, F word in that sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there's also like so many offensive things that he does. In a lot of his jokes that I'm just like...
Is there? I can't even remember any other ones, really.
Yeah. I think if you rewatch it, because it's... The thing is that as we get more careful with our language and we get more more like mindful of the way that we express ourselves and what might hurt somebody else and stuff like that. If you go back and you rewatch things from like 20 years ago or 10 years ago, you're like, oh,
you can't do that though. That's, I hate when people go, oh, 20 years ago, look at what they used to say. It's like, yeah, we're in different times. Times change. That's a reality. You can't fucking be pissed at what somebody or something said 20 years ago.
It's not about being pissed. It's about being surprised. Well, like for me, when I rewatch older things, I'm like,
no, but people do like, that though. They'll be like,
it's noticeable.
Oh, look at this. Look what they did 20 years. Like, yeah. Are they doing that now?
Well, but that's not what I'm saying. That's not the point. The point is, I look at it now and I think about it from like 2021 perspective. And I'm like, whoa, at the time that didn't even like take me aback at all. You know what I mean? Like,
because it was normal.
Well, it was still edgy at the time. Like, it still wasn't like, he was still pushing boundaries at the time, but like for now, because we've gotten so much more careful, it's more, and not just PC, him.
More two people are too sensitive now, which I completely agree with. I'm a sensitive person, so when people are getting overly sensitive about some of the stupidest shit I've ever heard and seen, I'm just like, dude, for real. And I'm not defending the F word or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying generally, like people, it's like we talked about this a little bit before. It doesn't matter what you tell anybody about anything. People will literally call you a racist or a sexist over something that is literally not racist or sexist.
Yes, I agree with that. But I also, so there's always going to be people who take it too far, but I don't have a problem with political correctness in people who just use it because they want to be more inclusive. They want their friends to feel comfortable.
I don't have a problem with the general like political correctness. It's there's the extreme. And I don't have any examples off the top of my head because I haven't.
So I was literally, okay. So I was watching a video essay about, I don't know. I forget what it was, but it was like these people are in the locker rooms going, oh no, what if that person's gay? What if they're looking at my junk or whatever in the locker room? And I remembered those conversations in like junior high and high school when we had to get undressed for PE.
Yeah.
And then the girl who was doing the video essay was like, they were talking about me. And no, I wasn't looking at your junk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but when you're in junior high and you're having that conversation, you're not thinking, I'm going to hurt. You're thinking, I don't want to be victimized. I don't want to be leered at. But you're in the same room as somebody who's like, oh my God, I'm a monster. Like these people think I'm a monster. It's just like, you know, and so to grow up and understand that just because somebody's gay doesn't mean they want to look at your junk. Like that's part of maturity. And I don't think that that's a bad thing in general, that hopefully kids in junior high and high school these days or whenever we get back to school don't have those conversations anymore because it's not a thing.
Well, I've noticed, I hope so too. I've noticed in like TV and movies, and then of course this is, especially now I don't know what the freaking think is real or not, but I hope that because of what I've seen in TV and movies, especially now when it comes to stuff like that, they're far more woke, right? As far as the word goes, they're far more woke, they're far more aware of how they word things and stuff like that, so... But I don't know if that is actually them trying to reach out and get people to see that, the way they're acting on TV, or if it's a reflection of the changes in the times. Like, I have no idea, like, which way it is. So I whenever I see that now, I'm like, it makes me a tiny bit hopeful. I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. But at the same time, I can't remember. I'll talk about times are changing, times are different. Like the way we speak is different, you know, stuff like that. But I can't remember specifically any shows that I watched when I was a kid that were telling me to be racist. You know what I mean? Like, so even when I was a kid, I had shows that were trying to be inclusive.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that was the reality of.
Yeah, it's kind of aspirational.
Yeah.
The way that we write things. I think it's reflective and aspirational, and then also kind of the opposite is a little bit like pessimistic sometimes. Like that's how you get apocalypse stories and stuff like that. It's like if we let humanity run amok, eventually we're all just going to blow each other up and be living in the debris. Like So we have everything. We have, and it, a lot of stuff is just a mix. It's like just understanding that, you know, people are still going to do bad things. People are still going to do good things. Most of us are just trying to be people. And well, I think,
I mean, that's the weird thing is, because I mean, just thinking back to school, like, one thing I've always wondered, and I've always wondered this, like, because I don't think it's possible for peer pressure to not exist for younger kids.
Younger people. I don't think peer pressure is a bad thing.
Are you delusional? You're delusional. That's the problem. Okay.
It's kind of like the word manipulation is like, it's not the fact that you're manipulating someone or that you have an effect on someone that is a bad thing. It's how you use it. So if the peer pressure is like, let's have a group that gets together and just make sure that we keep each other sober.
But that's not peer pressure.
That's not how it's usually defined, or that's not the connotation that it usually comes in.
Yeah, 99% of the time, that is not peer pressure. That's just people being different and separating themselves from the groups that succumb to peer pressure.
I just think that who you're around is basically who you kind of are influenced by the most.
That is true.
And so if you're somebody who, like, and so it is part, it's not the kind of peer pressure that they talked about in after school specials, but it is kind of, you know, it is an influence, and it does move you in a different way that you might have around different people.
Well, that's why we talked about that before. I was saying, because I remember I was trying to figure out how to tell you, like, how to explain that I knew what peer pressure was, but I didn't, when it came to thought control, I didn't really, it was almost impossible for me to fall for that. But so I was saying, oh, peer influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because, no, the pressure is literal peer pressure when people will bully you into thinking or doing a certain thing or whatever.
Yeah. And that's, I would say, bullying. And, like, again, they kind of get used interchangeably, but I just like to be more careful about the way that I think about words. I don't think that peer pressure is always...
Well, you should stop thinking that it can be something good, because it's not.
Well, because, like, and I started thinking about this, like, in terms of, like, doing stand-up and manipulation. Because I always thought of manipulation as being a bad thing. Like, you know how you know that you have an effect on
people.
It
is a bad thing.
But when I started doing stand-up, I thought, I'm manipulating people. I want them to laugh at the way that I say something, or the fact that I'm saying something, or what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's where words start having different meanings, and you're not using the word the way it's supposed to.
But manipulate, literally, it doesn't mean something bad. If you look in the dictionary, it just means to change something in the direction that you want it to go.
All right, well, as a person who doesn't just laugh at things because somebody wants me to.
No, but that's the thing is, like, if you're, okay, it's audience manipulation. You're figuring out, I was figuring out as a stand-up comedian.
You're not funny if you're not funny. You can't make somebody think you're funny just by, like, manipulating them somehow. It doesn't make any sense.
So, understanding that you have an effect on people, and that certain words have an effect on people, understanding that certain gestures have an effect on people. If you're performing those, then you understand that you're most likely going to get a certain reaction out of people. So if you walk up onto the stage and you flip off the audience immediately, what are they going to think of you? Versus if you get up there and you smile and you're happy and excited, like, what are they going to assume? You know what I mean? And doing different things, it's an interaction. All interactions are manipulation.
This has got to be a conformity thing. That makes no sense to me. I can't grasp it at all.
All right. Well, then let's move on.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's when I stopped thinking of manipulation as necessarily a bad thing. Just understanding that you have an effect on people, what that effect is, and how your behavior can affect somebody else's behavior or their opinion of you. Or their mood, or whatever. So, so Joss, back to Joss. So back when the Me Too movement started, I remember, like, I think the Joss thing came out first, but then the Harvey Weinstein thing, like, blew up. And I just remember thinking, like, if people had, and I thought the same thing about Bill Cosby, if people had refused to work with this asshole as soon as they found out that he was an asshole, then a lot of the damage that they did could have been avoided.
You know what's weird about that? It's messed up. The worst part, especially for the women that go through that. It will always be, do you have proof? Can you prove it? Which in a way makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and of course we get to the point, well, 30 women are saying it, like, but
if we're up to 60 for Bill Cosby.
In that case, though, I mean, I could also understand, well, they work together, kind of, which is crazy because you shouldn't have to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's horrible.
I mean, I think the instinct to give somebody the benefit of the doubt is, again, human and it's good. But also, who are we applying that to? Are we applying it to the person who's been accused of doing something horrible? Or are we applying that to the person who...
You know what's crazy?
Who was maybe hurt? Or are we doing that for both people?
All that kind of stuff, too, in a sense of... Really, you remember Michael Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Even I struggled with that. I thought he was a child abuser.
He is.
And, yeah, well, let's see. I used to think that, too. There was something, I don't remember what it was, and I was dead set on this for a long, because I was like, how would you have so many accusers and, you know, whatever, like, it doesn't make any sense. But there was something, somebody had said something, and I'm not saying I wouldn't flat out say he didn't do anything, I just don't know anymore. But there was somebody was saying, like, that Michael Jackson got so big as an influence and in a world, like, in everything, that the people in power had to shut him down. I don't remember the whole story. There was something, I watched this whole thing and I was just like, what the hell? It's crazy. And because I never thought of that before. I never thought that he got in so much power that he scared other people in power that wanted to bring him down. So there's all kinds of crazy crap involved with that. But I don't know. Anyway, it just made me think of that.
That sounds like a conspiracy theory to me.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I could say the same thing about a lot of shit. You know what's great? What I love about conspiracy theories is really funny to me is they wouldn't be so believable if they weren't believable.
You mean if there weren't people in power who, like, legitimately do horrible things?
Yeah, and all this stuff that does happen, but, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's a trip.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I mean, yeah. But that's what makes a conspiracy theory fun, is that you're like, well, that could be true.
I don't think they're funny. What's a good conspiracy theory? I've never heard of one.
Aliens.
That is truth. Why would you think aliens are a conspiracy? Oh, my gosh.
Oh my god. All right. So back to Joss. So the thing I've been thinking about is because what, like I said, is like the answer to stopping people from abusing their power is to stop working with them. You know, when you find out that they're assholes. Kind of it's the Death Star argument from Clerks.
I forget what that was.
So
oh. Go ahead.
So basically I think it was Randall and the main guy were arguing about the construction workers mm-hmm. on the Death Star, and one point was they're just innocent people, stand by, so it was villainous to murder all of them at the same time. And then the other one is like, you know who you were working for, like, don't fucking kid, you knew, yeah, you shouldn't funny. Have been there, like,
I never thought of that way too. That's hilarious.
So I always thought about it, like, the Death Star argument is, like, Bill Cosby is, like, you know he's bad, get the fuck away from him.
We know what's messed up about that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't, it's different situations, different people, all that. But, I mean, you could say the same thing about Amazon.
True. Yeah.
Stop working for Amazon. But the reality is...
They need a fucking job.
Yeah. And nobody's going to just automatically just stop working for Amazon.
Yeah.
It would literally... I mean, it's the same thing with the voting and everything. It all requires an extreme major movement of a massive amount of people working together, not just some people here and there saying, oh, this is what we should do.
Yeah.
You literally have to plan it and do it.
Yeah.
Execute it. And
I remember posting on Facebook when Trump was talking about the wall. This was before he was elected, and it looked like he might actually win. I was, like, freaked out, and I was like, you know what about the wall? Like, the people who... work on it have to decide to work on it. Like, if they all just don't, then it doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, and again, it's just not a realistic argument.
Yeah, so
sort of like it could be.
I think, but ideally,
it literally requires people to really truly plan and work together.
Well, and in a
major, major way.
Yeah, and the way that things are now is like, it's the difference between your family eating or not. So it's not as easy to walk away as like my idealism might say. Mm-hmm. Like, so because I was in the That's, reason
you know what's crazy about that. It's kind of, we talked about this before too when it came to like a universal basic income. If it was something like that where we didn't have to rely on our job to pay our bills and we weren't living month to month, we could literally just go try as many jobs as we want and we could move from job to job and just have fun and find a place we want to be.
Yeah.
And keep moving as long as we want.
Yeah, but if you're a corporation and your job is basically to figure out how to get people so desperate that they can't afford to quit.
Well, it's not just that, though. It's not just because it's also available jobs. I mean, how many jobs do you apply to? You can't get any of them. Like, there are no, you can't just go get a job anywhere. It's just the reality of it. You can't just, oh, poof, now I have a job. It doesn't work like it anymore. We talked about that before, too. I was a kid, I was a teenager, and everybody called me back. Now you can't get anybody to call you back.
Yeah.
And there's no even callbacks because you do it all online. Like, it's all a mess.
Yeah. So getting back to the Death Star argument. So I was thinking about this. Like, this was my thinking on it. It was my thinking on Bill Cosby. It was my thinking on The Wall. It was my thinking. And then there's this YouTuber. His name is Steven something. And he's a piece of shit. So I don't agree with anything he says. But he's basically blaming the fact that the world is full of assholes because women have sex with assholes and they have asshole children women
having sex with assholes. He's like, oh my gosh, that's so funny.
He's like, you want the world to be a better place? Stop women from having sex with assholes.
What an idiot! That They're guy should choosing... be neutered, man, or whatever.
He's and I just like, and the way he says it's so hateful, and it's just like I've seen that clip so many times. And it just like is so awful, and I'm just so I'm thinking,
what an asshole idiot, dude! Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so it kind of made me think differently about the Death Star argument. Like, it just made me think differently about Weinstein and Bill Cosby. Is like, it's easy to blame the person who doesn't speak up or just is looking out for themselves because they have to support their family or whatever, you know. But how about we just put our focus on the person who's doing the actual fucking bad thing?
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I don't completely, like, dismiss the Death Star argument. Well,
and a part of that is, let's say the Death Star argument, somebody's working on a part of construction. They don't actually know that it's a Death Star. They just know they're building a room.
Well, okay, so that was the argument. That's literally the argument. The argument is that, like, that they don't know what they're working on, and then
and a lot of these companies or people or whatever, you don't know them as an individual person and their beliefs and what they're planning towards. Like,
yeah,
if you were to work for Trump, you should know who the fuck Trump is. You know what I mean? Like, I would know who Trump is. I don't have to work, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So if I were to go work for him, even if I chose to, I would know what I'm dealing with.
But if you were working for him in 1980, you wouldn't necessarily.
He's always been like that. Oh my gosh!
I mean, not necessarily. It depends on who you are, right? He's going to show a different face.
Look at the clips of him
people.
From the '80s, man. That dude's a lunatic.
He's kind of always been a shithead. but yeah, no. So like, for me, like working for Age of Learning or working at a comedy club, knowing that I just so strongly disagree with the way that the business is handled, like I had a choice: do I stay here and be a part of this, or do I quit? And neither choice was easy, partly because, especially at Flappers, I had built a family there, you know, and I didn't want to be a bad person for a living, but I also, like, didn't want to leave, and I didn't want to give up the whole, like, everything I had built there, and, like, I finally felt like I had a purpose, I felt like I had a direction in my life, like, I felt like my life was going in a good direction, and then, like, I just had to leave it, because the weight of understanding how what I was doing to people was just so heavy that it was that I had to leave rather than keep doing that. And it wasn't an easy decision. I came home after giving my notice and I cried until I went to sleep. I came home and I cried and I came home at 5. I cried for 2 hours and I went to bed early so that I would stop crying because I couldn't stop crying. Yeah. And then for Age of Learning, completely different in terms of, like, my attachment to the job or the people there or the company, but it was still the same decision. Do I have my livelihood, or do I and be a part of this thing that I just think is so disgusting, or do I go off on my own and maybe just be homeless?
You know, yes. So I was about to say, what's interesting about that is, either way, we've always had one or the other to rely on for paying our bills.
Mm-hmm.
So that option was kind of there, but I don't think it'd be as easy if you were living on your own and you knew you'd go homeless.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Or if I had, like, three kids to feed or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I'm less judgmental about that, but I just think for myself, my choice in either situation has been to walk away. I don't want to work with that, in that situation, in that environment. I don't want to work, as much as I love the people at Flappers, as much as I love Barb and Dave, I felt like it was a business of, or the business model was exploiting people, and they seemed to be okay with that, and I was not, and so I had to leave. And I guess I didn't have to leave. I could have found a way to be okay with it, but I felt like that would change who I am.
No,
at my core, and I wasn't willing to do that.
I think the only thing what you could have, the only thing as far as either doing what you did or even, let's just talk about it, like the movement thing, like you, if anything, you might have been able to try to convince all the staff there and all the comedians and have a discussion and not just it come down to talking to them as a group, all of you.
Yeah.
Writing a letter or whatever, coming together and doing a thing, a presentation, whatever the hell, right? Either that and telling them, and if you don't like this, we're on strike. We're out. We're not going to come here no more.
Yeah. I mean, I could have started a union. Like, I definitely thought about it.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, the last strike, the last time that comedians as a group stroked.
Stroked.
Was in the 70s.
Stroked.
They striked against the Comedy Store, and the Comedy Store raised their rates, and they haven't raised them since because there hasn't been a strike since. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing, is like when your business is, it kind of was like, okay, we'll exploit you a little bit less just to get you to shut up.
Yeah.
And then 20 years later, like they haven't, it didn't change them. Yeah. It didn't change the business model. It didn't change the fact that comedians aren't paid, or just any young artists or any young worker, really. Like, so many companies are relying on interns. So one of the reasons that you can't find a job is because they're getting people to work for free. So, I mean,
there's all kinds of reasons.
I mean, but that's one of them.
But so, like, so you left a couple of jobs because you're...
Because of the Death Star argument.
Well, because the company, well, because the people that in charge were just treating people like shit, basically. And for, like, your company was good as far as employees, but the customers were treated like garbage. Yeah.
Like, Age of Learning paid well. At Flappers, nobody was getting paid well. At Age of Learning, I was getting paid well, but it wasn't worth the fact that I was a part of exploiting the customers.
That's so weird, because, like, I'm just miserable having to work.
Because you're being exploited. Your labor is being exploited.
It's not, though.
It is. You're not being paid a livable wage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You don't have the option to walk away if you want to. You don't have the option to save money. You don't have the option to go on vacation. You don't have the option to, you know, do something more interesting at the same company. You know, like, you're... So that's... I mean, that's all exploitation. It's not the same thing as, like, working with a ball and chain and digging a ditch, but it's still exploitation. And they do it because they know they can. It's not because they need the money or they can't survive.
Unless they pay you.
Yeah, and they're making it... I remember when I was working at Goodwill... And they would not give me a raise. I had two different managers put me up for a raise, but they just were not doing raises. And they had decided, we're just not doing raises. Everybody gets minimum wage from now on, unless you get promoted. So it doesn't matter how long, and I was there for 5 years. It doesn't matter how long you work here, unless you get promoted, you're not getting a raise. And I remember looking up the president of the company, and they said that he only made $100,000 a year, and he had taken, I think it was $130,000 a year, and they said only because he had taken a huge salary cut when he moved to Goodwill from the company he had been working at before. And the reason that he took the salary cut is because his sister had a disability, and he liked the idea of working for a company that help people with disabilities. I don't know if he realized at the time that they pay people with disabilities less than minimum wage by a lot. I think when I was there, it was like $2.30 an hour. Yeah. And with the excuse that A, they wouldn't be able to find a job elsewhere, or B, they live with family member. A lot of times they live with family members, blah, blah, whatever their fucking excuses were. Just not okay. It's just so fucking not okay. But he wanted to work, so he took a pay cut to $130,000 a year, which at the time I was making $18,000 a year. So it's hard to feel sorry for him. Like, he's getting the bulk of what the work that I'm putting in because he's the figurehead of it.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know what it's like to be him as a owner or whatever, with how many people he has to pay and what his money actually goes towards. I'm just saying, I don't know if his $130,000, if he makes that in a year, like, where's that money going? Is that going towards his employees? It goes towards his
no, that's not how much the company was making. That's how much his salary was. So that's his take home money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, the company was making millions of dollars.
That's why I was like, huh?
Yeah.
It didn't sound like a lot. For a CEO or whatever, it didn't.
We were making, our store was making probably $500,000 a year.
Oh my gosh.
The store on Brand, the one in Eagle Rock was making $1 million a year. And then think about how many Goodwills
that's
are.
That's what I needed to hear so I could make sense of why that.
So him taking a salary break to $130,000 a year is very sweet on his part, but it doesn't fix the system where I'm still getting paid $8 an hour, mm-hmm. you know? And that, if that sounds like a lot, you probably don't live in California. Our minimum wage here is like, I think it's like $11 right now. This was like 2000. I think it's 11. I think they're trying to get it up to 15.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
Everybody's screaming, saying it should be 20, but not, and 15.
It should be.
Well, they're saying that, what's funny about that is the arguments. All the people saying, oh, but $15 is too much because then you'd be making as much as teachers and all that stupid shit.
Give them a fucking raise too.
Missing the point that they should get a raise too, yeah. But the other point is, like, people are like, this is the compromise. We should be getting a lot more than $15 an hour. That's the actual compromise.
Yeah. It's kind of like an 8-hour workday was the compromise. Do you know that the premium work week for productivity is 16 hours a week?
I forgot about that. I thought it was 20.
No, 20 is what you work, I think.
Well, no, I mean, I thought that was the thing. I know people that think $15 is too much.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't make sense. I'm like, who the fuck are you people? Like, how do you not, like, I don't understand what it's like not to worry about not being able to pay next month's bill. Yeah. I have no idea what that's like. I've never not known what that's like.
Yeah.
Except for when my mom was paying the bill. You know? Well, that's it, though. Like, and so even though I didn't worry about paying the next month's bills, I knew that we were fucking poor, you know, like, that was just our situation. So, like, when people act like they attack the $15 minimum wage thing idea as if it's a bad thing, I'm just like, who are you, rich motherfuckers? Like,
well, no, it's not even that they're rich.
I know.
Maybe they're making $15 an hour, which is not really a livable wage for them either. But they're like, but my job is saving lives. And your job is flipping burgers. My job is obviously more important than yours. Yeah. So why would you get the same amount of what I'm making?
The same exact point of raising.
You should be getting. Well. Yeah. I mean, if you have more responsibility, you should be getting paid more. But the point of minimum wage is that
it's supposed to be a living wage.
The reason that it was established in the first place was to be the minimum that you could make.
And $15 is not a living wage.
To live with a family, like, you're supposed to be able to support your family. Your wife's supposed to stay in home and raise the kids. and you're supposed to go to work and at minimum wage be able to support everybody. Mm-hmm. That was the point. Not you as a single person having to have a roommate because you're not making a livable wage. So, yeah. So in terms of like the Death Star argument and Joss Whedon and Bill Cosby, and I understand that the accusation against them are not the same scale, but it's the fact that it's been going, like, they've been able to just hurt people mm-hmm. for decades and just not be stopped.
Well, I forgot, we talked a little bit about this too, and I had forgotten that, because I started getting into Rose McGowan, I think is her name,
mm-hmm.
and looking at her stuff and listening to her videos and reading her what she wrote, and she's friggin' awesome. I remember one of her stories was like the way she was explaining Hollywood, and everything sounded like it made sense. It all made sense. It wasn't like something she just made up, because like I could see it.
Yeah,
I could see it. I just never recognized it. And that was when I was telling you how like what I had learned was that Hollywood is a cult. Like it's mm-hmm. and that's why she calls it that. She called it a cult. And then I remember when I used to hear that, when I used to hear Hollywood being a cult, I was like, that sounds kind of dumb. I mean, isn't it just, you just make movies there? But then as we see this. With all of them, it kind of makes sense. It's why their behavior is so acceptable inside of that group of people, because they're all doing it.
Yeah.
Like, all of them.
Well, they're all doing it, or they're all covering up for somebody else who's doing it. Yeah. And because of the desperation level. So the thing about a cult is they separate you from people who aren't in the cult, and they make you financially dependent. You know, there's all these tactics that are meant to keep you from speaking out, from leaving, you know. And it's funny because I used to work at a comedy club, and I knew so many comedians who just lived in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
They just lived in their cars. They couldn't afford like rent, so
they could afford a car.
They'd either have.
I make jokes about this.
Because, they weren't always nice no,
I
cars.
Know. I make jokes about this because one of the things I always say is if we did go homeless, we wouldn't have a car to live in.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and that's a trip because like even our mom lived in a car, you know.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't her car.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right.
He was a roommate with somebody else in his car.
So I always think about that. Whenever I hear about somebody living in a car, it sucks. And I'm not like happy for them or anything. It's just always weird to me. I'm like, oh man, like. At least they have a car, I guess, you know, and I don't, I'm not like, it's not an argument. I mean, it's such a trip to think about that.
Yeah.
Cause like,
but like they're so willing to sacrifice, you know, physical comfort and just having a home.
Have you ever seen somebody live in their car? And I'm like,
it's pretty gross.
And not just, but even if it's not gross, they keep it as clean as they can.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, they might as well be pushing a shopping cart
yeah.
with their belongings. It's the same thing. It's nuts, man.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I just was visualizing that, and it's such a trip.
Oh, but they're so desperate to pursue their dreams, like comedians, actors, mm-hmm. whatever, that they're willing to sacrifice comfort, warmth, food, whatever it takes to be able to pursue those dreams. And so when somebody comes to them and says, hey, I have this opportunity for you, all you have to do is suck my dick a little. They're not in a position. They're not in a position to say no. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so easily exploitative. And so why would the people who want to take advantage of somebody in that situation change that so that people are treated more equitably?
See, you're why would they? Because why would they if they were a decent human being, maybe, you know?
Well, like... I think that it's been established that they are not.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I remember seeing an interview with Sarah Michelle Gellar years ago where she was talking about her audition process for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And she was just like, at the end, I was just so traumatized. I didn't care if I got the job or not.
Wow.
And it was just because she had to keep going in and like doing different things. And when she's describing it, I'm like, what is she fucking being a crybaby about? Like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
It just sounds like hard work, but I don't know what the actual experience was. It's weird because she was so good, man.
Yeah.
Like, so damn good.
Well, and now, like, I look back at that, like, my opinion of that, and I realize, like, how grueling the audition process is, how poor you are while you're doing it, how desperate you are for a job, any fucking job, like, and where you're probably living either with six roommates or in your car. And what you're doing for your daily work. And, like, you're working 8 hours and you're doing auditions and you're, you know, so you're just not sleeping. You're not sleeping. You can't afford to eat. Whatever money you have goes to headshots or whatever they're trying to bilk you out of at your agency. If, or if you don't even have an agent, it's even more expensive. You know, like all this stuff is just, so I understand now what I understand about like the entertainment industry is why she was so fucking traumatized at the end of like 3 auditions or whatever, because she was just, because it's just such, just the idea that she could be able to pay her bills and then not being sure if she'd be able to pay her bills and then, oh, maybe I could even get sick. Oh, no, I don't know. You know, like just being jerked around just like on a fundamental life level is so exhausting. I can understand that story a lot better now. But I also understand that like maybe Joss, being the person that he is, was purposely jerking people around because he liked the feeling of power, which adding the mind fuck to the already mind fucky audition process and your mind fucky situation, like I can see why like that would have driven her so crazy. But anyway, so that, I'm not sure what I wanted to say about Joss Whedon. I just wanted to say that
you want to talk about what's going on,
that like, I mean, I don't know if I have any insight into the situation, just that it's it sucks that he's been able to get away with this for so long, and it really sucks to have to look at shows and movies that I like and just kind of feel a little bit icky about some of them.
You know, it's interesting. I just thought of it, like apparently Keanu Reeves is really good about boundaries with actors and stuff and women that he works with, and I didn't notice it. Somebody was pointing out like pictures when he puts his arm around women, it's actually like out.
Oh, you can
not
see it?
Touching them and stuff. Yeah.
Oh,
it's just posing with them but not actually touching them and stuff. And I never thought of that. I never noticed it. I have no doubt he learned that throughout what he had seen as a part of, you know, that stuff.
Yeah. The Taylor,
so it's pretty cool though,
Taylor Swift thing where she's like posing with a picture with her mother and this dude is just like up under her skirt like grabbing her ass and like putting his fingers everywhere.
What?
Yeah. So she sued him.
Oh.
She won. I think she won. I'm pretty sure she won.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, so like stuff like that. I can see why you want your hands to be shown. It's like, hey, I'm not fucking hurting anybody over here.
Well, people the point was, people were pointing out like how good of a person he is. And they've said that for many years.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as, I don't remember why it came up. I think it was another allegation towards some actor, probably. And people were pointing out, like, look at Keanu over here, like, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's such a, you know, what's
being in the
up?
Business isn't an excuse to be a shithead.
You know what's weird about that? It's so, well, it's weird to me because, like, I remember, you know, first time meeting a couple girls in real life where we knew each other, sort of, and as a greeting, a hug was normal, you know, like just a hug. But this world's so fucking stupid, man. Everything's so screwed. I'm telling you, I literally believe this is hell. I think it's funny because, like, I've thought that for a long time, but it was only confirmed last year. And then I told you I had finally started watching Shoe on Head, and that was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I found her because people were complaining about her. And she actually, I didn't even know this. I thought it was hilarious because I saw her, like, she has, like, that, like, she does this, like, series or whatever. It's, like, a certain episode she does and she calls it Hell World.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was so funny. I was like, yeah. That just cracked me up because I've called this world hell before, but now I'm like super convinced.
I was rewatching Disenchanted and this guy gets to heaven and he's asking God. He's kind of like a simple guy. He gets killed. And so he ends up in heaven and he says, oh, Elfo had been making fun of him. Elfo's one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy shows up and he's like, it's about time somebody took you down a peg. And he's like, after all the destruction and whatever you've caused. And then God says, what if I told you I only allowed those things to happen to make you stronger? He goes, then you're a real sick fuck.
No, that's just bad writing, and I believe a non-believer would write.
Oh, I'm sure. Like that. That's actually why I liked it so much. And then later, the same guy goes, did you invent cancer? And God goes, yes, but also people really like cigarettes.
It really bugs me when I, it depends on the writing and the context or whatever, but I can usually tell when a non-believer writes about spiritual stuff because it's so freaking stupid.
Well, okay, so that particular joke, the reason I like it is because I'm not a believer, but that's not why I like it. What I like it is because it's what it's what I like is the argument. It's an argument against people who say that it's okay for people to suffer because it ends up ultimately being good.
I hate that too. I think it's nonsense.
Like if there is a God,
talked about that last
episode. Yeah, if there is a God, I hope he's not a sadist.
I don't think so. You know,
and I think that there are other ways to let us grow and become better people than to just fucking torture us.
I know. I've never. That's one of the things that have always bothered me since I first heard it ever. That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like our history. It just doesn't make any sense.
This is what unconditional love feels like.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm pretty sure there's something missing or you're wrong or lying. Like, you know, like.
Yeah. So to me, that joke's not so much against God as it is against that. No,
I think that specific joke is funny. It just definitely sounds like something that somebody who doesn't believe would write.
Someone who doesn't believe or someone who just doesn't like that argument.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure that I don't believe that there's a God, you know, like it's just hard to feel.
Well, no, the reason I would be happy to find out they're a believer and all, but it's just generally most of the time, if there's ever anything to make God look bad, it's a non-believer. Nobody that believes usually wants to make God look bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
but I think that the people who do make God look bad are believers.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah. No, but I mean unintentionally. There's like the people who intentionally write it right, and then they're the hypocritical retards, like the idiots, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Just so you know, the R word there. Grew up with that, so sometimes it slips. I know it's the new thing not to ever say that word anymore.
And I would agree with that, and I only let it go just because I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not going to jump all over you because you don't say everything perfectly all the time.
No, I know, it's funny. Sometimes it just comes out, and it's, like I said, it's just we used to use that all the time as a kid.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, I used to use it all the time. When I stopped using it was when I started working at Goodwill.
Later in adulthood.
For me, the orientation was the best part of working there. For 5 years of working there, was the orientation. And they had a list of words that we're not allowed to use because we were called clients, the people with disabilities who worked there. And it was because they had been called these things and so you didn't want to use that word and allow that connotation to hurt their feelings. So, we weren't allowed to say stupid. We weren't allowed to say crazy.
The word crazy.
We weren't allowed to say the R word. There were a lot of words that were just, it was like a list of words that we were just banned from saying. And it wasn't because you couldn't say it outside of work where it was like a banned word socially, just at work, because these people had been called that. And it might like trigger them, like, and not so that they would freak out, but just that it would hurt their feelings.
You remember what?
I remember one day this guy's name's Will Berry, and he was definitely stunted. And we had this other client. His name started with an A, but he was not stunted, but he was schizophrenic. So he was really smart, but he was also very cruel to the other clients. Because he just felt like superior to them, or because he had a lot of anger or whatever. And so I remember coming into work one day and Will Berry was like, this person called me stupid. And he was just obviously so down. And I was like, you're not stupid, Will Berry. You remembered my name the first time I met you. Cause I know every time I would go down, like I met him. And then during my first break, I went down to the break room and I had to pass by him. He had passed by him on the way. And so he's like, hello, Cristal. Hello, Cristal. He would say that every time I'd walk by him to get to the break room. And every time I'd walk past him to get back to my job, he would say my name. And I was like, you're not stupid. You learned my name the first time that you met me, and it took me weeks to learn yours. And he was like, okay. So he felt a little bit better after talking to me. But it's just like, it's such a hurtful word when you've had that. I mean, especially like if you've had that word be used at you while you're being hit or while you're being pushed down or whatever. And I remember, too, Mom used to work with emotionally stunted kids before you needed a a license to do it. She was, like, a therapist. And she was just, one day she was, like, she was new to the job and she was just cuddling with the kids. And she said she loved them. And then somebody pulled her aside and was like, you have to stop being so physically affectionate. And you can't say you love them. And she was like, why? And they were like, because imagine how many of their parents have said, I love you, and then beat the shit out of them. So they don't associate the word love, even though we think of it as a good word, with something that's good. They associate it with something that's very unhealthy and hurtful. And so that's why you can't say I love you to an emotionally damaged child. So that was something that always kind of struck me about that. Like, so certain words, you just don't say those words to people.
I think it's funny about the job thing. The love thing is messed up. I forgot about that. I mean, you told me that story before.
Mm-hmm.
But the job thing... What's funny to me is I'm pretty sure most jobs don't want you to use words like that. Like, yeah. No matter what.
But we literally had that word, and there was this one girl during training, like their orientation, she said stupid, and then the trainer was like, what? She's like, yeah, it's so stupid. She wasn't talking about a person or anything, just like the situation. She was just using it very casual. She's like, you're not allowed to use that word. She's like, why not? And then she just, like, was not getting it. She ended up, like, leaving. And then she came back in later and apologized. But it was, like, it was, for some people, like, the idea that I can't say this thing that is not hurtful to me. It's not hurtful to the larger community. Like, it's stupid that I'm not allowed to say the word stupid, you know? when I'm obviously not trying to hurt anybody, you know? Like, it took a moment for it to sink in that even though it doesn't hurt her, it's not a hurtful word for her or maybe anybody she knows, it might be hurtful to somebody that she'll meet in the future. And so she understood that in this particular environment, you don't want to be saying that. And I actually remember, like,
trying to... It does sound really stupid.
Yeah, I tried to remember... I tried to memorize that list and just take those words out of my vocabulary entirely just because I understood that, like, a lot of these words have hurt me. You know,
most of them are meant to.
On the playground.
If you say something stupid, it's usually meant in a negative way.
But you know what else? You know what another banned word was?
And I was like, oh man, that's so stupid in a cool way. Like,
but you know what a banned word was? Was normal. We weren't allowed to say normal.
That one I can understand too, though.
Yeah. Well, in that
context, I can understand that more than stupid.
And like, I kind of took normal out of my vocabulary. The only reason I can
understand that is because most jobs would not want you saying stupid for any reason.
Yeah.
Any kind of insulting word. So normal, I can understand being specifically pointed out.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I get that. And that's also dumb or stupid or whatever, but yeah. I get it. Like, it makes sense. It's, I can understand that more. And, mostly because specifically related to your job, I don't think you would have to tell me not to call someone stupid.
Yeah, but
I don't think it was stupid
that she had a problem with it. I think it was normal. I think normal was the word that she ended up leaving the room over.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it made me really conscious and thoughtful about the words that I use. And, like, normal doesn't seem like it would hurt anybody ever in any situation. But
we've talked about that before. It was before your job.
Not before my job.
Wasn't it?
No.
No, I remember, I don't know, because I remember having lots of conversations about that word. I don't remember why, but I remember we would talk about it where, you know, normal for one person is completely different
than it is for somebody else. That's what made me think about
it. It's kind of like what you were saying where mom had to learn you can't just tell these children that you love them.
Yeah.
Because normal for them, love means getting beaten. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
And it also makes you think, too, like, I thought my child was fucked up, but I still thought that love was a good word.
Well, I think that after you telling that story, and I remember, I forgot about that story, but after you telling me that story, that might be why mom tried to get us to say it so much, you know, and understand it as what it really means and whatever. Because, like,
she never said it when she was mad.
Yeah, she got us in the habit of using
it. She never said, I'm doing this because I love you.
Yeah.
You know?
You
know?
No, love meant love.
Man. Yeah.
We say it all the time. That's why it's so easy for me to tell that to my viewers on the stream. like in the past I've said I love you guys, you know, and I'll see you later or whatever, because our mom taught us that. It's probably because of what she learned there. That's pretty messed up.
Okay, so I think that's it for Joss. Where are we at on the time?
An hour and a half.
All right, we could probably end that there. Do you want to do another episode?
Well, okay, you want to end here?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in, or whatever it is you do. Thanks for clicking on a link.
Thank you for listening.
And please join us next time on another episode of The Poor Rex. The Poor Rex. We are poor and we talk about it a lot. Da 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 da. Poor.
Poor. We're so poor.
Normal and poor.